Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we're joined, as always, by our very own Alex Talish of the Packers Lounge. Also joining us as our live blog guest panelist is Milwaukee Brian of the blog Milwaukee Brian Sports. So, Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Joining us later tonight will be Andrew Garda of ThunderingBlurb.com. Andrew will help us preview the big showdown with the New York Football Jets. But right now, we got the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Desmond Bishop.
What a play.
Greg Jennings.
Making the most redonkulous move I've ever seen in a football game.
Chad, not a dinosaur, Clifton.
Redemption for the veteran.
And we got the bad. We got Brad Childress.
He's just bad.
And the Minnesota Vikings, who suck.
They're just bad.
And we got the ugly. We've got Brett Favre.
Brett Favre, apparently in danger. In danger of ending the streak. And our guest in the next segment, ladies and gentlemen, may be the cause.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
That's crazy talk right there.
Joining us in the next segment will be Brad Jones.
Crazy talk.
Ooh, he had the tackle on Favre where he hurt his ankle and could possibly keep him out of the game next week.
Speaking of the game next week.
What you got there for the people,
Corey?
Oh,
look, some e-tickets right here.
E-tickets? For what?
3 e-tickets for the front row, baby. Packers side.
I can't even believe it. We're going to be right behind the Packer bench. Me, Corey, and his father. It's going to be insane.
Doing it up.
Insanity reigning from everybody.
Doing it up. Speaking of doing it up, okay, Friday night, meet up.
Here in Manhattan.
Kettle of Fish. Packer fans in New York City, we are making the call. If you haven't seen Twitter, people are unfollowing me because I am tweeting this so much. I want every New York City Packer fan to meet up Friday night. We're going to be doing a Lombardi giveaway. And for Lombardi tickets for 2 p.m. of the matinee, we're meeting up at Jersey Al. We're invading Jersey Al's tailgate spot, K6.
K6 at the new Meadowlands
on Sunday.
In the
orange section, I think. We're invading him.
It's going to be fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. Friday night, kettle of fish, drinking with all your favorite New York Packer fans and some other football luminaries I've heard rumored may be attending. We've got, you know.
Football luminaries.
Football luminaries, I'm telling you. That's all the talk. It's all the rage.
Speaking of football, we had the chance to meet some football luminaries.
We did indeed. And where did we meet them, Corey?
We met them at the opening night. Red carpet. Aaron and I were privileged, okay? Webcast live. We had some technical difficulty. And because of that technical difficulty, we have a video to show for everybody.
We do.
And it's kind of exciting, actually.
We're going to get to the game. We're going to get to beating the Vikings because, yes, it was amazing. It was unbelievable. I was there.
Let's talk about that.
Well, no. I want to show
this
video.
No, let's talk.
First.
Oh, show this
let's
video
show
now.
Video first. Because as awesome
it all
and
leads
as brilliant
up.
As that was, the fact that this video and this moment in our lives even exists.
Yeah, it's true.
Is pretty freaking fantastic.
We have to take the moment to
acknowledge. And let me make no mistake. This is probably the highlight of Cheesehead TV's career.
Existence so far.
What you're about to see and hear.
I don't know if people can handle
Some
this.
Some of you may have missed it live. But here it is. There, like Corey said, there were some technical difficulties with the storing of the video. So the video
yes.
is a little different.
The
but
video's messed up, but the audio's great.
The audio
and
is
the moment is real.
The moment is absolutely real. Here we go.
Here's a gentleman
red card
talking to, ladies and gentlemen. Here's someone we definitely will without question, be talking
oh,
to.
Oh, yeah.
Corey, keep it down now.
Sorry. I want to cheer right now.
No, don't cheer.
Should
don't
I cheer?
No.
Wait, it's supposed to be the press, right?
We'll have our stuff revoked, and that'll be very, very bad.
We're
supposed to be the press right now. We have to have a press hat on. It's a professional moment for Corey Banky and Aaron Nagler. They are few and far between. That's where we are.
And I don't look like a roadie. I have a suit. I just don't have it on. Right?
Oh, yeah. Wally was calling me a roadie.
I was so concerned about your
appearance. Someone called him a roadie.
I got a suit.
That's Mark Murphy. He's the president of the Green Bay Packers.
Man.
He's been here for... obviously for the big premiere. He'll be back in town for the Jets game, obviously.
Here's the best part. The best part is coming up.
And it should be noted that, yes, that is a Packer tie.
Nice tie.
Mr. Murphy has on.
We'll have to get a shot of that.
Yeah, we'll definitely get a shot. Without a question. There he is. President, CEO of the Green Bay Packers.
TV.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Well,
well, we got too many Broadway plays. Oh,
yeah. How many Broadway plays have you been to?
This is my second one.
All right. Okay. Nice.
What was the first?
Rock of Ages.
Oh, that's a bit of an inside joke.
Classic.
All right, that's good. Are you excited?
Talking to Mike.
Well, very much so. Yeah, I'm really looking forward.
How long have you been involved in the process?
Well, Corey has to keep talking to me, talking to the microphone.
Well,
I'm so freaking nervous, I forgot to.
They came out to Lambeau, I think it was in June, but for probably a month or two prior to that. And, anything we can do to help them, I think. It's obviously, it's great for the Packers. Obviously the Lombardi legend. And obviously having the league be a partner is really beneficial to us, I think, as well.
Talking on the mic, Aaron.
Are you surprised by the lack of national attention with Brett Favre coming back one last time to Lambeau?
It's nice to hear that, though.
Well, I don't know. It's on, it's a Sunday night game, and I think there'll be a lot of attention. It's not like last year when it was his first time coming back, though.
Thanks so much for joining us. I won't take up any more time. It's a real honor to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for all you do for the Packers.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
What?
Thanks for all you do for the Packers from the CEO of the Green Bay Packers.
Commissioner Goodell here on the carpet.
Now, who's this?
Right.
Oh, he just said Cheesehead TV.
Nice to see you.
It's lovely to see you tonight. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
He's like, why is the cameraman talking to me?
Involved with the process of the play, and what has been your involvement in it?
Tony Ponturo came to us. He's one of the producers probably over a year ago and said that he wanted to do this as his first show on Broadway. And
or like TMZ.
Around Lombardi, and we were thrilled to be a part of it.
Is this your first time seeing it tonight?
Yes, it is.
Are you excited to have him out watching a Broadway play?
It's not often we get him to the theater, but if there's one thing that'll do it, it's the Cheeseheads, right?
Very good. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to us tonight. Have a great night.
The Cheeseheads.
The Cheeseheads.
Commissioner
we got
Goodell,
Commissioner Goodell out to the theater, much to the delight of his wife. How about that? Mark Murphy and Roger Goodell both coming to us and saying, oh, Cheesehead TV.
Woo.
Nothing wrong with that.
And then right after that, I kicked the feet out with my foot. And
no,
it took
think,
us the entire time.
I think one
time.
Of those student reporters
yeah,
kicked
yeah.
the power out as well. So it wasn't all you, Banky. Let's not go all in there. But how about that, ladies and gentlemen? Like I said, come on. That is the highlight of Cheesehead TV's existence so far.
So far. So
and
far.
And the highlight of this season so far is the Packers taking the Vikings down.
It's true.
You like how I did that?
Yeah.
See how I rolled
that was
it right
a nice
back
segue.
To football?
It all is about football, though.
It's all about football, obviously. But Sunday night was just unbelievable.
It was pretty amazing.
Unbelievable. I've never been in a stadium like that where it was so electric. The Go Pack Goes were insanely loud. People were hanging on every play. I mean, sometimes there are games where people get up, they get food and whatever. They mingle. Whatever. Like this game was the first game I've ever been to where everybody was glued in on every single play.
Well, I was saying that, night games.
Oh,
I've been
yeah.
to like four night games, right? And every single one, even one where we played Detroit, it just has its own unique because it's yeah. like a Monday night game because there's only one game usually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And nighttime in Lambeau is very magical.
It's special. It's very special. And it was certainly was Sunday night. I gotta say, I was not surprised. People asked if I was surprised that Favre got booed again. No. No, it was not. But it was just a great night all around. Obviously the result was great. Some stuff that people may not have seen on camera or on TV, one thing I wanted to put to bed, and this may have happened, but I am pretty sure it didn't. There's a rumor going around that Cullen Jenkins hurt himself while kicking field goals in pregame. I was on the sideline. I had sideline passes. I was out there the entire time the team was out there, from the moment the kickers and specialists came out to the moment everybody went off before the game. And I did not once see Cullen Jenkins kick a field goal. Now, maybe it was going on before everybody was let in. I doubt it, but maybe. But while they were out there, and I was watching the kickers, and we were watching both Longwell and Crosby warm up, and then when the whole team came out, we were right in front of the linebackers and offensive lines doing their drills, and there was nobody kicking any field goals. So I don't know about all that. I don't know if that rumor got started, but I certainly didn't see it, and I haven't found anybody else credible who saw it. So,
so wait, did you just say you were on the sideline?
I was on the sideline for pregame.
Yeah, you know, you kind of like Lombardi when Lombardi opened.
Right.
You kind of said that to me. Like, I think I was packing up the gear.
Oh, I just dropped
and you're like,
it.
Oh yeah, by the way, I'm going to be on the sideline Sunday, and it didn't really register. And then I see picture of Jen Latta and you, and
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, there we were on the sideline.
And then I come to find out that the Packers actually, what are the Packers thinking?
I know, right? How about this? Jeff Blum, our old nemesis, actually gave me sideline passes. I think we're wearing them down, Corey.
What is the world coming
to? I think we're wearing them down. You know who else was getting worn down? That defensive line of the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night.
Yikes.
When you go from, you know, expecting to have Colin Jenkins and Ryan Pickett in your starting lineup to not having either of them, and depending on Jarius Wynn and C.J. Wilson to see you through the game against Adrian Peterson and that offensive line. I know they gave up a ton of yards and Peterson got a touchdown and short yardage, but you can't be anything but proud for the work that Dom Capers and Mike Turgovac and that defensive line, those three guys, what they did.
A lot of Band-Aids. Brian, there's a Twitter rumor out right now.
Oh,
okay,
those are always exciting.
The Packers... This is a Twitter rumor. This is breaking Twitter rumor.
Breaking Twitter rumors. That's what we do.
The Packers might have signed running back James Davis.
You know, James Davis. We've all been waiting for the James Davis news.
Woo! James Davis!
So, you know, we picked up Dimitri Nance because we needed help at the running back spot. Then we didn't play him for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then, you know, they finally used him on Sunday night, but they never gave him the ball.
Yeah, now
they let him go in motion a couple times.
Alex is saying that was broken on the live blog. Sorry, I wasn't looking at my iPad when that broke.
So much technology, Corey.
There's only so much technology you can look at one time. So let's talk about Brad Childress, and let's talk about the officiating, because, you know, we ourselves have been the victims of bad officiating.
Exactly.
And it was some terrible. There's the one touchdown. Dude is looking at his feet.
I know.
I think it was the Vikings who had a touchdown. It might have. It was us. I can't remember. The dude is looking at his feet, and he says that
it's a touchdown. Yeah. No, I know. That happened three times, dude. It was unbelievable. The most egregious one to me was the first one to Percy Harvin, where he's running up the sideline. He clearly steps out of bounds, and the ref just puts his hands in the air. And then three Packers, point to the sideline. Excuse me? He went out right here? But Brad Childress, he's imploding before our eyes. First, after the game, he rips on Brett Favre.
Which is awesome.
Not so subtly.
I wish we could play that.
Then, he rips on the NFL and the officiating. Then, he goes the next day and starts ripping on the Patriots, who they play next week. Guy is just, full-on, total implosion, ready to just go down the tubes, and I love it because everyone knows my hatred for Brad Childress is well documented.
Yeah, it's without parallel.
But you know, yeah, refs make bad calls, but don't think it doesn't go both ways. You know, Brad Childress and all the stuff that's been written afterwards. Everybody conveniently leaves out the fact that Aaron Rodgers' second interception to Greg Jennings, which was tipped in the air by Frank Walker, should have been negated because Frank Walker went out of bounds. Can't be the first person to come back in and touch the football.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
No one talks about that, but that's a missed call.
I was thinking the exact same
thing.
That
took points off the board. But that took three or even seven points off the board.
Because he tips it to the other guy.
Exactly.
He's the first person to touch it, and he clearly goes out. Yeah, I was thinking that.
So, I mean, that should have been a penalty.
I said that to Rachel, and then nobody – I think it was actually said on the live blog.
There are untold holding calls throughout the game.
Oh, yeah, on Clay Matthews.
Non-called holding calls on Clay Matthews.
Hi.
They finally get him with a face mask, and then Childress won't even admit that. I didn't see anything. Even after he saw film, he goes, oh, I didn't see anything. I thought that was totally ridiculous. Are you kidding me? I'm all for in the heat of the moment, but after you've calmed down and you have a chance to actually look at the freaking play and see Matthew's head snapped almost in half, what kind of fucking idiot are you?
A big one.
What kind of degenerate human being even goes there? I can't stand that guy.
Jersey Al is doing his impersonations of Brad Childress on the live blog. I love it when Jersey Al does
Jersey
that.
Jersey Al is
the
ultimate method actor.
Yeah, he will totally. Whoever the villain needs to be, he'll play that character. It's awesome. Jen Sturger was on the live blog yesterday, and hilarity ensued.
No, she wasn't.
She was on.
I'm sure
it said Jen Sturger on the comment.
So it was her, obviously. Clearly. Yeah, so Brad Childress, he can go take a flying leap. I'm sick of his nonsense.
All right, so let's talk about the offensive line. I said something last week that I regret.
What's that, Corey Behnke? You were critical of a couple guys on the offensive line.
Well, I've always been critical of the offensive line, but one person in particular I feel did a stellar job on Sunday night. And that was Chad Clifton, who, while I was angry that Greg Bedard was leaving at the time,
I
did call a dinosaur. But when I looked back at the tape, I called him a dinosaur in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, well, that's understandable.
And I was ready to release him after the
Redskins game
because he gave up a key critical play of the game. But that's why I'm not the coach.
That is very true. No, Clifton had, bar none, his best game of the year. I talked about it last week, wrote about it. Leading into this game, I wasn't worried about Clifton. I thought Clifton would handle Allen, and he did.
And he did. Oh, my goodness. Jared Allen. Okay, I don't know what's better, really. I know it's not as exciting when Jared Allen gets contained.
Right.
Okay, it's not like that moment where you sack Favre, right?
Right.
It doesn't have explosiveness.
No. But it's still awesome.
But it's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay? What's the most annoying thing on the Vikings?
Oh, his rope calf. Craptastic celebration.
And did he do that?
He had no chance to because he didn't get a sack. He did get an interception, though, and that blew ass. I'm sorry, Aunt Kurt. That blew chunks. But that was all on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, that's not an amazing play on Allen's part by any stretch of the imagination. And then the young rookie, Brian Bulaga, stepping up. National stage. Probably the best D-end he's faced all year. And he shut him down. Ray Edwards was shut down. Ray got, I think he touched Rodgers three times. But Bulaga, only getting better. Going to have some tough choices to make when Tauscher's healthy.
It's not really a tough choice.
See, I don't think so. But the question is, what does McCarthy think? You know?
Nobody
Campen
knows.
Think?
McCarthy doesn't even know that.
He doesn't. You're probably right. You're probably right about that. So, the offensive line, fantastic. And what flows from the offensive line, the running game. I was shocked at how well they were able to run the ball when McCarthy chose to against the Vikings, especially
on
the left side.
And they made a point of this on the live blog when he didn't hand it to John Kuhn.
Okay. Let me. You said it, so now I got to go there. All right. I got to say this. I got to put this down for posterity's sake. All right. Stop with the John Kuhn. Just stop.
You're too loud on that.
I'm sick of watching Jackson, 3, 4, 8 yard gains. He's working in the screen game. He's getting into a rhythm. And then, oh, wait, it's John's turn. And then we've got John Kuhn going for 1 yard. We got John Kuhn going for 2 yards. We got John Kuhn on 4th and 1. Oh, it works because he got the second, the second push there. We'll go 3 more plays. Oh, it's 4th and short again. Let's do John Kuhn again. They'll never expect that. Stop with the John Kuhn.
Well, and don't do the same play twice. That's annoying.
I understand we're all really excited to yell Kuhn when he gets the ball. But I only want to do that 3 or 4 times a game. It's exactly what I was talking about last week. You're outthinking yourself.
Outthinking, yeah. Don't
just give Jackson the damn ball.
That's true.
He just ran it for 8 yards.
I wish I could. Whoa,
there was a stretch in the third quarter where, it was Kuhn, 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 nothing, nothing, nothing. They go pass play, Kuhn, nothing. And then Jackson comes in for one play, rips off an 8-yard run, and then he's back on the bench. What are you doing? All right, I just had to get that out.
Are you sure?
I'm done. I swear,
is it out?
I swear I'm done. It's all over.
So,
I've been dying to say that all
Let's time. Talk about QB1 real quick.
Okay, here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, did we mention the fact Brad Jones is coming on this show?
Brad Jones.
Okay.
Breaker of Brett Favre's ankle.
Let's just say that real quick.
Brad Jones, outside linebacker for the Green
Bay Packers. The man who could be the reason that Favre's streak is over is on our show tonight.
In, 10 minutes or so.
There you go.
It's very exciting.
So let's talk about QB1.
Let's talk about QB1 real quick. Corey, I need you to fire up some video here. Rodgers to Jennings. This is early in the game. This is a classic cover 2 slant play. Watch Rodgers. Takes his drop, makes his read, and throws. This is exactly what I was talking about yesterday. Now play Rodgers good.
Hold on, let's play that again. So
okay, now watch. He takes his drop, he looks to the left, makes his read, and throws. Now we've got a closer shot of Rodgers that I want people to see.
Rodgers good.
Now watch his head. Look off the safety, come back, make the throw. There's no difference in the offensive line. That's exactly what the offensive line was doing the previous week against Miami. Like, it was closing in, but there was no reason to run. But he was running the moment, like, the second his reads didn't, like, add up in his mind. This week, he stuck in there and made the reads and made the throw. That was the biggest difference. Now, yes, there were lots of problems still. There was a couple questionable decisions, especially there at the end of the first half, where he threw the pick. That should have been negated, but he threw the pick. That was a dumb decision. Still lots of, obviously, it's been talked about a lot, the miscommunications with his wide receivers, a lot of the back shoulder stuff not working, a lot of differences in what they were reading with the coverage. They're going to have to work on that this week. I got to imagine Jimmy Robinson was blowing
on
the sideline.
Did you watch the Leroy Butler X and O video?
I did this afternoon, yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you,
people got to watch those. If you don't watch those, you are missing out.
Well, I don't post them until Friday, but that's not because I don't want to post them right away. It's just because I feel like people forget about them, and then Friday's a great day to remember.
Yep,
and people absolutely. So I actually post them on Packer Video like now, and I watch them now, and they're amazing.
They're fantastic.
They're amazing.
And his question and answers with Tom Silverstein are great, too. It's all great.
It's both.
It's all great.
And it's really cool. He made a good point today that I want to address that I haven't heard anyone else make. And that is, and it's kind of a knock on QB1, so it goes back to what we say. For all Favre's faults, Favre would have made sure that the first person to get the first pass was Donald Driver, okay? And Tom Silverstein argued about, well, within the confines of the game, blah, 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 blah. But I'm just saying, had that happened, a whole thing would have been lifted. And that's kind of your job, and Leroy Butler made a good point. It's about taking care of your guys.
Okay, we'll talk about that later in the show because I like that. I like that. I'm two ways on that.
But
it's a great point. It is a great point. Absolutely. Like I said, we'll talk about it a little bit later. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be live on the line with Brad Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with Packers linebacker Brad Jones. Mr. Jones, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good today. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How was Victory Monday?
Oh, Victory Monday was amazing, man. anytime you get to film day off an extra day, it's like a little mini vacation.
Very nice. Very nice. So obviously, you got a great game on Sunday night, if we do say so ourselves. I know Dom Capers gave you some nice praise, saying that he thought it was probably your best game as a pro. Did you feel that way while it was going on, or did you just kind of come off the field and someone told you, "Hey, you played pretty well"? Or how was that communicated to you in any way?
I felt on the field. You always really never know until you get back and watch the film. But I felt during the game I was definitely playing well. I'm always being physical and I just felt in my prime that game, definitely.
Excellent. Well, it certainly looked it. And obviously, the entire football world it revolves around the question of whether Brett Favre will or won't play on Sunday. And you obviously had a little bit of a hand in that. Have you gotten any either grief and or props from your teammates about that? Or have they talked about that at all?
Oh, man, you don't. that's a good question. I'll put it this way. You don't play the game to hurt people at all. I think it was a good pass rush on my part, and I wish that he hadn't flipped it. Honestly, I wish he hadn't thrown the interception. I would have gotten the sack,
right?
But I mean, you don't play the game to hurt anybody. You don't ever want to hurt anybody. But I'll just say it was a good play on my part. If he plays or doesn't play, I mean that's kind of out of my hands.
Absolutely. Obviously.
Well, just so you know, Packer Nation on the live blog is calling you our hero. So there you, you take that for what it is.
Packer fans are an emotional, we're an emotional bunch, Brad. So, you know.
That's awesome. I'm glad I could be somebody's hero.
Well, I got to tell you, I think there were a couple million. Oh, no, we lost him. We lost live broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we roll. Hey, but you know what? We've lost other people. We lost Leroy Butler before.
He'll probably just call us back.
I should hope so. Because I don't want to say
his. You have the number and you
can't
say it.
I've got his number, but
phone.
I'm not saying that live on the air. That would be bad. Isn't it your Skype? Don't you have like a
No,
numbers?
Because it's a number. So just
All
write
right.
it. Write it.
I will write it down
it
for
in
you,
the thing.
Mr. Banky.
There you go.
How's that, ladies and gentlemen? We cut off guests. We don't care.
Well, no, he hung up on us. I think he cut off.
He was offended by the Favre question. I think he's like, hey, man.
He didn't sound offended.
I came to talk about Brad Jones, not Brett Favre. There you go. Give him a call.
There you go.
So Brad Jones, what a stand-up guy. He was cool answering that question. I got to say that. Now watch. His like cell phone just died. Went into a tunnel.
We talked to him.
Yeah, we did. That'll be the shortest interview ever. Although, I don't know. Wayne Larrivee's may have been shorter.
It was pretty short.
You have reached the Sprint voicemail box of 5.
I think his phone died.
I think his phone died, ladies and gentlemen. So, ladies and gentlemen, Brad Jones.
Seriously,
us.
That was Brad Jones.
Oh, it was not an actor playing Brad Jones. But, you know, that's how we roll,
wow.
man. It's always live. Always live.
I mean, he knows our number now.
Yeah, he's got it. He called us before. So, Brad, if you're out there, call
he's not
us
watching.
Anytime.
Just FYI, he's
no,
not watching.
He's not watching. I'm just letting you know. So how cool was Brad Jones?
Brad Jones was pretty cool. He was very excited about Packer fans and Packer Nation.
Oh, man. It's always something. It's always something.
It wasn't the internet.
Oh,
that time.
And you know what?
It wasn't the internet.
Wait. I haven't said this publicly. I did say something on Twitter last week, but I got to clear this up because I was listening to the podcast back from last week, and I didn't say last week was not Frank Zombo's fault.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to get that out here. So everyone listening, watching on the live blog later on iTunes, everybody knows we were a little incredulous about Frank not calling us.
But this time, that actually wasn't a technical glitch because we tried to call him back.
His phone died. No, that was this time. But last week, we were giving Zombo a little bit of grief, and I just want to make sure that everybody knows that it was our technical problem, not Frank Zombo not calling. So just so everyone's aware, don't give him any grief if you see
CD and Jelly. So my wife can get the Zombo jersey now.
Yes, she can, CD. I saw CD at the game.
That's good stuff.
And I saw Kyle, who I think is here.
You saw a longtime fan, too.
A longtime fan, although I did not really meet longtime fan because he was already inside. So we were kind of shout-talking over. He was, like, up on the banister somewhere, and I was down
That's
on
exciting.
The ground level. Oh, it was awesome. Maybe we should, you know, keep going with the defense, and then maybe Brad will call back because we are talking about the defense. Why don't we show Brad's play?
There you go.
His big, big play. Here he was, Sunday night, possibly altering the football landscape. Oh, show that full screen, dog.
I will.
There he goes down. Oh, that's so great. Look at this. It's a great rush, and this is great stick-to-itiveness. He's got McKinney on the outside, and he comes back around.
I don't think that's a word.
It is now. That is great. That is just a great play.
I like it.
It's a great play. And it was a fantastic night, as I said. There was Brad Jones. Shortest interview ever on Cheesehead TV. You know who had the play of the game on the defense, though? Brad Jones, that's a great play. A.J. Hawk getting the interception, that's a great play. But you know who had the defensive play of the game? It is not who you're thinking. It's not Desmond Bishop. It's not Nick Collins. It's C.J. Wilson,
ladies and gentlemen.
C.J. Wilson. Go back and watch the touchdown, this pick six from Desmond Bishop, and you will see C.J. Wilson getting cut blocked by the center, going down to the ground, popping right back up. And there are lots of guys who don't pop right back up. Popping right back up, running at Favre, causing Favre to stop and throw the interception. It is just a fantastic play. And it didn't get any play, the night of. Because, you know, you're not watching it. You know, it was happening live. And yeah, I didn't see much written about it in the coverage after the game. And I just want people to know, C.J. Wilson makes the play of the game. Corey's keeps trying to call.
I was
Brad Jones.
I just wanted to try.
It's all right. But you don't want to talk about Packer football? We just keep going, man. We don't need no Packer linebacker. It was great. Let's move on.
Yeah, I hear you. C.J. Wilson was good. I thought Desmond Bishop stepped it up again this week.
He did. He really did.
Desmond Bishop.
He's the hardest hitter on the Packers. Bar none. He put some hilarious
hits. Yeah, when he's in position, he's good.
He still had one or two issues with the zone coverage. And speaking of the zone coverage, the zone coverage is killing me.
I hate zone.
Wait, so let me get this straight.
I hate zone because it opens you up to holes that you don't even need to have because you don't need to play it all the time.
Well, and it's just, I just don't get it. Like, you have Charles Woodson. You have Tremont Williams, who's playing out of his freaking mind. And you have Sam Shields, who's playing some of the best nickel in the league. Yeah, that's right. I said it. He's playing fantastic football. I mean, have you seen anyone going after Sam Shields?
Yeah. Have you seen anybody going after Tremont Williams?
No.
Let's talk about that for a second.
I mean, but this is my point.
Patrick Dupree.
You have these three guys who are pretty good cover corners.
Oh, yeah.
And you're playing all this zone.
Yeah. Yeah, what team has three guys that are any good? I'm sorry.
And wait.
Not many.
Newsflash. Al Harris is probably back on Sunday. Are you kidding me?
Well, and
are you kidding me? And we're going to play zone.
Well, and you know, Leroy Butler, speaking of his videos again. In his video from last week, he talks about the box and one in football terms.
Right.
And it plays to Woodson playing the nickel strength. It's not about Woodson playing the nickel. It's about Woodson being the spy who's on your best guy.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever he is. So you go motion, you go whatever you do, I don't care because I've got you.
Yeah. Well, it was great. Not great from a Packer standpoint, but it was great for a football fan. It was a chess match, bit of a game within the game between Favre and Woodson. Like, Woodson kept, like, you know, faking like he was going to blitz, but he was really going to blitz. Was he going to blitz? And then Favre kept going, bringing the snap count down, or bringing the clock down as low as it could go, doing dummy counts to see if he could get Woodson to commit. And one time he got him really bad. Like, there was one time where Woodson, like, Favre gave a hard count. Woodson came flying in. He didn't go across the line, but he came in, and Favre just looked at him like, I got you. And then he snapped the ball. Woodson came on the blitz, and he hit Harvin for like a 5-yard gain, which would have been more if it had been a better ball and Harvin had kept his feet. But that went on all night. It was great. But that was great to watch. It was a little chess match. But that's the thing. You've got Charles Woodson. You've got Tremont Williams. And Tremont Williams, you're right. How fantastic was he on Randy Moss? Randy Moss.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, second quarter of the game, I'm not even kidding. There were three people in our section who forgot that Randy Moss was on the field. They forgot that Randy Moss was on the field.
Yeah, nobody was going.
I got two words for you, Tremont Williams.
Now I will say, Tremont, he needs to start catching these balls that are thrown right at him. Seriously,
I know we would have won by so much more if
that's
he just catches that.
That's the only thing he has to do. That's it. And you know what? I'd rather have alligator arms and be there, and a guy's not getting picked on this entire season. No coach in the NFL has picked on Tremont Williams. And those that have been denied.
Have been denied, absolutely. This is the thing, though. Remember, Nick Collins kind of went through the same thing. You know,
oh,
when he
and
first
Nick
came
Collins,
into prominence.
Nick Collins, his growth this season is ridiculous.
It really is.
He is confident. He's breaking on balls. It's amazing. It's understated. It really is understated. I have not, you know,
not
I think we saw
true.
We saw
that's
at Packer Fan Fest, he's an arrogant kind of guy, a very confident dude.
Yes, he is.
And I think that rubs people in the press the wrong way, so he doesn't get the write-ups. But he is coming on this season. He's coming on as good as Darren Sharper ever was on our team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that play where he leaps, it was great because they started with
amazing.
A high single safety position, and he just read Favre. He just read Favre. And the second he saw it going, he broke on the ball. I mean, that's a ridiculous play. That's your two-time Pro Bowler right here. That's why you extended the guy. You know, it was a fantastic play. But you know, Nick Collins went through the same kind of thing with Tremont Williams is going through. Like, now Tremont is a full-time starter for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's getting these opportunities. He's not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't accept it. But I get why it's happening. Nick Collins went through the same thing when he was first playing.
Al Harris went through the same thing with Philadelphia.
Exactly. You get your hands in the ball. Not used to it, you drop it in the heat of the moment. You saw Nick Collins is kind of corrected that. He still drops some, but
yeah.
But that's why they're defensive backs.
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's the old joke, that if they were any good at catching the ball, they'd be wide receivers. But
they are good, and I'll tell you what. Our secondary is the reason we are 4-3 right now, okay? Our secondary has allowed the injuries to not pile up on us, so the fact that we cannot get a pass rush to save our life has not affected us as much as it would another team.
Taylor on the live blog here makes a great point. Charlie Peppra did have a fine game. I mean, he was picked on a little bit in the past, but not even like one-on-one stuff. Like just because it was in front of him in the zone. I mean, that's the zone. But he was physical as hell at the line of scrimmage. He made some great plays, especially early. I think he tired a little bit towards the end of the game, but in the first quarter, he was wrapping up on Peterson. He made a great play on, I think it was the first series where he broke up a screen pass to Harvin. It was a play that actually worked later for the Vikings. But he had a heck of a game. And I will admit, and Brian and Jason Wilde will back this up, I hated Charlie Peppra. I thought he had no chance. I'm eating my words there because Peppra has played some really good football. He's not the greatest cover guy. He's not the most fluid guy in the secondary. But he has brought a physical presence back there that was missing when you had the rookie there, when we had Morgan Burnett there. So it's great. I'm really happy to see it. And yes, there's on the live blog is my plate of crow that I'm eating.
Yeah, well, I had to eat the Clifton crow, so there you go.
So there you go. It's a night of crow.
You know what? You know what it's time to talk about?
Is it time to talk special teams?
You know it is.
Is Dale Z on the live blog? I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him.
No, he's going to be disappointed he missed this. Now watch him stiff us too.
Yes.
Hello.
Brian.
Hello.
Brian Caribou.
Brian
in the
Caribou.
House.
Hi, guys.
How are you tonight, Brian?
I'm fantastic, as usual.
As usual. I like that. You watching a little college football tonight?
Yeah, I'm watching it kind of at the same time. I'm helping to direct the live blog and... Boise State's winning 28-7, I think.
You are amazing. You are amazing. A man of many talents. Okay, so, special teams on Sunday night. Did we like what we saw? What was up with all the crazy short kicks? Take us through it. Are you in a room with a washer-dryer?
I happen to be, yes.
Yeah. I guessed that. That's
I can't
right.
tell.
Right.
I can't
a
tell.
A hot water heater, tell you the truth.
Wow. Awesome. Nice.
But
she kicked you out, didn't she?
She really lets you be in.
She's like
best
Tuesday
spot.
Night. She's like, no more, no more Packer transplants on Tuesday night.
Special teams was nothing fantastic, but it certainly didn't lose the game for the Packers, or you know, win it either. But Tim Maste might have been one of the better performers. Had two very nice punts, one inside the 20, and it was a nice bounce-back game from his performance against Miami. Pat Lee looked fine on returns. A couple of nice ones where he squirted through the middle of the field, threw a couple blockers, and it was all on him, too, because the blocking wasn't anything special. And, yeah, those couple of squibs at the end, I suppose when you choose to squib kick, that's kind of like a risk in itself. The first time they tried it, it worked, and the ball was downed at about the 20-yard line. And then the second time they tried it, they hit a player in the front line, and it was recovered at the 40. So I suppose that's the risks of a squib kick.
And what did you think of the fake field goal where they motioned into a scrimmage play and almost nearly hit it?
Yeah, with the Matt Flynn trotting out there, I mean, if the Vikings are aware at all, they should know something's up right there.
Well, it's funny because they did the same thing against, not the same play, but they did the same kind of trickeration against the Bears 2 years ago, where they had Matt Flynn come in on a fourth down play, and he was the up back on a punt, and he got that first down. He ran for it then, but. But it's the Vikings. You know, their attention to detail is not their forte.
Yeah, and some people are against me on this or taking me to task. I was wondering why Flynn was so far back, and people kind of said, well, they want to fake the punt. And I'm like, well, they didn't punt, though. I mean, what? Maybe you start far back, but then why wouldn't you come a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage? That's just me. I don't know. So.
Well, I don't think it would have made a bit of a big difference in the actual throw.
I suppose. I'm splitting hairs.
But, yeah, you got to think. I mean, what was the penalty situation? We had like two penalties, three penalties? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Off the top of my
head. I think
it
was.
You mean total?
Total, yeah.
I thought it was
two. Special teams. It was two, right?
I thought it was two.
Because that was the thing.
Yeah, it was small.
It was interesting. I was just thinking about this coming over here, how, you know, the big thing that happened on the Monday night game against the Bears was the total implosion of discipline and record-setting penalties.
And we've actually had less penalties as the season's gone on. So
and
far.
Then Sunday night, I thought for sure we'd see the return of Meltdown City. Do you think that's a product of they're just getting more comfortable as the season goes on, or do you think it's a product of they're playing at home, or do you just think McCarthy's been cracking the whip?
Say that again?
Well, do you think that the reason they had so few penalties, going into a nationally televised game, the last time they were on national television, they had 18 penalties for a record, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think that that was just a product of they were at home instead of away? It's just further into the season, so they have, you know, they're just more used to playing football at this point? Or do you think McCarthy has really tried to, I don't know, like clamp down on it?
I have no clue, because over the course of Mike McCarthy's history, I mean, there seems to be no consistency. I mean, they can go a game like this where there's only a handful of penalties, and then it'll be back the next week to double digits. So, I suppose if you're a Packer fan, you're hoping it's trending in this direction where they stay low, but we won't know until several weeks down the road, I suppose.
All right, Brian. It's that time.
He's not going to be ready for it.
Throw it down.
I am ready for it, actually.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Look at that, Corey. He came right at you with that.
Right. We talked about it
banking.
On Railbird Central this morning.
Look at
and,
that.
People probably not going to like this, but I don't think the Packers win. I
You're fired.
Prior to the season, the Jets are my pick to win the Super Bowl.
You're fired.
Wait, what?
They've shown me nothing to.
Where did you write that?
Get away from that?
Link
to
that.
You didn't write
where
that on Cheesehead TV.
I didn't see this. Where was this?
He was scared.
What is this?
All of
a sudden they're 5-1. Now they were my preseason pick to win the Super Bowl. I need some confirmation on this, son. Goodness gracious me. So wait.
No, they just impressed me last year with their defense. And
that was last year.
Well, a lot of those players are still around, plus LaDainian Tomlinson. So wait. Mark Sanchez playing a hell of a lot better this year.
Did you not predict a Packer loss last week?
No, I predicted they would win.
No,
last
he's
week.
Never said they were going to lose on this show so far
no,
until
you did
today.
Once. Yeah. Didn't you?
The Miami, I
the
predicted.
Miami game you got. Okay. And then you said they were going to win against the Vikings.
Yeah.
So you say they're going to lose against the Jets.
I'm hanging up anyway.
Yeah. All right, Brian.
I don't want to hear that.
Fantastic. Fantastic as always. Thanks a lot for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Damn. Really hope his streak doesn't hold up.
Okay.
I can't have that.
Okay.
I can't handle summer school.
The Caribou. Seriously, you need to wash your dishes right now? What's going on? Come on. Seriously.
I love it. The tech geek is upset.
No,
because
it's not
of
the
sound.
Tech geek. It's the producer of the Cheesehead TV postgame show talking to his talent.
Also known as a tech geek.
I mean, all I can hear is.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. See, we got to learn to, like delete Kareem Copeland's tweets when there's an NBA game on. Because he's just wrong right now. Way, way, way too many
tweets.
You
see Andrew
Garda's
in the live blog.
He is, and he was going to join us on the next segment to talk some Jets Packers football.
Yeah.
Andrew Garda, if you're not aware, is a man of many talents.
And Jersey Al is right now acting like the Jets coach.
Yes. The mouth that roars.
Rex
Ryan is on the live blog as we speak. No, but if you don't know, Andrew Garda is amazing. He writes fantasy analysis for footballguys.com, which is bar none the best fantasy football site on the internet. He does his own blog called thunderingblurb.com, where he covers National Football League and college football. And he also, that's this. Not, I'm not done, people. I'm still going. He also runs a website called BigEastGridiron.com, where he covers all the teams in the Big East Conference in college football.
And he's also a Jets fan. I don't like him. Just kidding. I really like
and
him.
And he's a transplanted
West
Coaster.
I don't like
Coaster.
Him this week.
And he's a transplanted West Coaster, so be nice to him. But he's a Jets fan. So we thought we'd have him on. This guy knows more about football than I ever have. And he's going to be on our line next.
That's James Jones.
No, it's Brad Jones.
Don't call sorry.
Don't
sorry,
call
sorry.
Him James.
I'm sorry. Brad, it was just really quick, and so I couldn't believe he was calling.
Andrew, we'll talk to you in a bit. GSAT TV, you're on the air.
It's Brad back.
Brad, you're back. How are you, buddy?
Sorry. My phone glitched and just cut out. It took me a while to cut it back on.
It's nice. Quite all right. It happens. You know, it's like yeah. That. It's like that part of Us Weekly that my wife likes to read. You know, the stars, they're just like us. You know, football players have their phones go out.
Exactly. I don't know what it is. It's a new phone anyway.
Well, there you go. But it sounds fantastic.
Yep.
So, okay, we're gonna wrap the bow up on this Favre thing, and then we'll move on to some more stuff.
Okay.
But real quickly, obviously you never played with Favre, and you know you didn't have a real history with him. Was there a lot talked about leading up to the Viking game about Brett Favre? Because there was a piece in Sports Illustrated a couple weeks ago where they quoted both Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers about how maybe McCarthy was a little too tight last year when you guys went to Minneapolis and then they came into Green Bay. You know, Aaron had intimated that maybe things were a little tight. Was there any mention of that kind of thing? Was there look, this is just another game? Was that the mantra? What was the mood like leading up to Sunday night?
I feel that Coach did went a different route this week than he did, you know, last year this week. He kind of treated it like every other game. I think he even mentioned to the team that he thought he felt that he made too big a deal, kind of maybe to last year about the game. And I think it kind of bode well for the team. It kind of put everybody at ease. He really focused on making this game just like every other game. You know, he was like, we prepare our best and we prepare to play our best every single week, and let's just do it again. I mean, you guys know each other, you know the team, you know their team, you've played against them. He said, just prepare like you always prepare. He said, and this is just another game that we need to win, you know, and I think it really helped the team.
Well, it certainly looked like it on Sunday night. You guys played fantastic. Let's go back a little bit to when you first came into the league. You drafted by the Packers, seventh round pick out of Colorado. What was the draft experience like for you? You know, you see a lot of guys here in New York, or not a lot of guys. You get five or six guys here in New York who, you know, sit in the green room and have their little experience, but you don't often get to hear from people who are drafted in the second day or the third day now. What was your experience like? What was the process like?
Draft day. Draft day is kind of a rush of emotions. I mean, it's like a roller coaster kind of. You prepared, you know, 5 months to do your pro day, and then to do your combine and pro day, and then it's kind of a lull. There's a lull before the draft. There's like 3 or 4 weeks, so I think like a month you have off. You're just kind of waiting and sitting and waiting to see what teams think. And then you start getting your pre-draft grades and all this, and people start buying into getting into looking online and looking in magazines to see what the pre-draft grade is. And for me, I tried really not to buy into any of it. I mean, you know, because there's guys who are supposed to go, you know, first round, top 10 picks who don't get drafted. You know, I mean, it happens every single year. So I think my pre-draft thing was like, it was like third round, or it was like fifth round or something like that, third to fifth round. And I think the third round, some teams called me and said they were going to draft me in the third round. And I was like, okay, cool, I got it coming up. Then it was something would happen, and then after they got their pick, they'd call me back and be like, sorry, something happened. We'll get you next round. And that kind of happened. I mean, it kind of went like that until it got around to the seventh round. I mean, by the sixth and seventh round, I was just happy to go somewhere. Honestly, I really didn't care too much about draft status as long as I got as long as I got my chance to go to a team and show what I had, I really had total confidence in myself that, you know, my abilities would kind of speak for themselves.
You made your first professional start last year against the Cowboys in a pretty big game for the Packers. Obviously, yeah. You guys were coming off two losses to the Vikings and the Buccaneers. A lot was made about you guys were going to be missing Aaron Kampman, and you came in and if I may say, played just a hell of a game.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think, you know, people, it was a bit of an unknown commodity, and you came in, you set the edge against the run, you rushed the passer great. I mean, it was, I'm not going to say a revelation, but it was a pleasant surprise.
Right.
How frustrating was it? I mean, you went through the whole offseason, and they played the whole game of, oh, you're going to split, we're going to put Papinga there, and then we're going to put Brad Jones there. So you went through all that, and then finally you enter training camp as the starter, and then you got hurt. I think it was the first day of camp or the second day. I can't remember. And then you were out for a good long while. I mean, how frustrating was that after, you know, the whole summer leading up to, you know, who's going to be opposite of Clay Matthews, and then you get your chance, and then you got to sit out for a little bit?
Injuries is probably the most frustrating thing for a player because you do all this preparation and you can't really account for injury. I mean, they say, and it's true, I mean, the injury rate in the NFL is 100%. You're going to get hurt sometime, and you're going to get hurt more than once. It's kind of the one thing that you can't prepare for. And you just kind of got to stay mentally into it, man. I mean, you do all the preparation. You have to know and stay in the game to know that when you come back, you have to hit the ground running. You know, you have to, the day you get back, all that time you had off, you were practicing, basically on your own. Like you have to come in and be instrumental to the team just as if you had been practicing the whole time.
And I don't want to I don't want to start anything here, but I think you're starting to get you're going to start to get a bit of a reputation as not quite Mr. Monday Night, because last Sunday night was Sunday night, but when the lights come on, you're a big play guy. All of a sudden, last year you had the big sack against Flacco on the Monday Night game, and then Sunday night you're breaking Favre's ankle. I like this. I think you're becoming a bit of a prime time player.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean everybody likes to see their friends and family seem to do well. I mean, everybody loves prime time, man. Fans love prime time. You know, we players love prime time just as much as you guys do.
Did you? What kind of feedback did you get from your folks, from your family? Have you heard a whole? You know, obviously, I mean, you probably talk to people every week, but is there? You get a few more phone calls this week?
Yeah, I did get. I mean, all the prime time Monday night, Sunday night games. I mean, everybody sees it. Even if you play a horrible game, you get more phone calls than everything else because, you know, everybody can watch it and they're just glad to see you out there. I definitely got a couple more phone calls. The only really phone calls I'm really concerned about, you know, is my parents. My mom and my dad, they call me. We have a long conversation, talk about the game and stuff. That's really all I'm concerned about, just sitting there talking to my dad about the game.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Nice.
So big matchup with the New York Jets this Sunday. Have you watched much film? Who do you think you're going to be going against the most? Is there something you're studying specifically? Talk to us just a little bit about the matchup.
I can't give away too many secrets. I mean, they got media guys who go over all this, but I'll say, I mean, the Jets are good. The Jets are a good team. We'll say that, and they have two good tackles, really good tackles that I'm going to be matching up against. I can't remember their names exactly, but I think the Jets are going to be a challenge. But I definitely think that we can step up to the challenge. I mean, I think we're going to come into this as two good teams, and I know it's cliche, but I mean it's just going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle out there, and that's to the fullest. It's probably going to be a game that comes down to the wire.
Well, just look for two big nerds right behind the Packer bench, because that'll be Corey and I cheering you guys on.
Make sure I get a high five or something from you.
Most certainly. We'll be in Cheesehead TV shirts, so
yes,
you won't be able to miss us.
You won't be able to miss us.
All right.
That's what's up.
Brad, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us, and thank you so much for calling back.
Yes, yes.
That's really ace.
Oh, not a problem, man. I'm glad that you guys gave me a chance to talk, man. It was fun.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Jones, linebacker with the Green Bay Packers. Brad, have a great night.
All right, you too.
Brad Jones called back.
There you go.
Because that's what people do. You know who else called back? And Leroy Butler. The cool ones call
yes,
back.
Yes, they do. And I was so excited about it when I saw the number. That's why I said, like, I just was like, I couldn't believe it. Oh. I saw the number that it was, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Because I knew his phone went out.
You know what he said? He said, we're what's up. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Okay, we need to take a break.
And when we come back,
we'll come back. We'll be talking to Andrew Garda of thethunderingblurb.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Joining us live on the line, my good friend Andrew Garda from thethunderingblurb.com, from footballguys.com, and from BigEastGridiron.com. Andrew, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, but you know what? You do that intro, and suddenly I'm exhausted.
It's true. I can't imagine the amount of time you put in making all this content. For those of you, really quickly, who don't know, Andrew does not only blogging, but he does video blogs almost every single day, breaking down every aspect of the NFL, fantasy stuff, college stuff, the Big East. It's just incredible. And the guy is married with two kids. And he has a day job.
How do you both do it? That's insanity.
That's just nuts to me.
That's
insanity. What I do is one thing, but what Andrew does is just totally
I don't have any kids, and I can barely do what I do.
So, Andrew, major props is all I'm trying to say here.
Thank you. I try not to think too hard about it, because if I do, then my head implodes, and then nothing gets done. Yes. I can't afford to have that happen.
No, you cannot. So talk to me about these New York football Jets. 5-1 coming into this matchup with the Packers.
Rex Ryan doesn't like you very much on our live blog.
Apparently not.
I know. Well, I gotta admit, I stole a bag of Doritos from him, and I was part of the squad that was trying to keep him on his diet this summer. And
you failed
like
miserably, didn't you? Nice.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, what do we expect to see from the Jets when they face the Packers on Sunday? Let's start with the offense. Are we going to see a healthy dose of LaDainian Tomlinson, or do you think we're going to see young Sanchez let off the leash a little bit?
I think they'll probably let Sanchez off the leash a little bit, but ultimately, I mean, here's the interesting thing. We've talked a lot about, you know, in general here in New York about how much Sanchez has come in the last year. I mean, last year was a flat-out rookie time. I mean, just bad decisions, didn't read the field well, tons of problems. And this year, you know, until Denver, hadn't thrown an interception. But if you watch real closely what he does week to week, he still lapses into those sort of, you know, ill-timed, ill-conceived passes on occasion. And you know, so Schottenheimer and Ryan still sit on him a fair amount. And, you know, let's face it. You've got LaDainian Tomlinson playing as well as he is. You know, this is a guy who, when they give him the ball, he'll gain positive yardage almost no matter what the situation is. He just gets that extra yard, gets that extra yard and a half. I mean, just keep feeding them the ball. So I think you'll see a lot of LT, but they won't be afraid to stretch the field a little bit, get Santonio Holmes involved, Braylon Edwards, since he's lost his pan hands, get him a little involved. You know, so they're going to try and keep the Packers on their toes. But, you know, again, you guys, I hear you have some good guys in the secondary somewhere. Some guy named Wood something. Don't think that the Jets offense won't be very aware of, you know, the danger that kind of could lurk for Sanchez in that secondary, and where they may test him. I think it's going to be very controlled conditions, very specific situations, and you know, that they won't. They, this is what they do. They don't put Sanchez in a situation where he has to do so much that he's going to implode. I mean, they control him a lot. They give him the opportunity, the best opportunity to succeed. You know, and that goes back to the ground game. That goes back to Tomlinson and maybe a little more Sean Green this week. But every time we think that, Sean Green gets four carries and fantasy owners put guns to their heads. So.
You mentioned Santonio Holmes. How has he looked since coming off the suspension? He missed the first four games, and now he's had a couple weeks under his belt. How's he looking?
I think he's looking pretty good, but what I will say is that he's not quite on the same page as Sanchez yet. He doesn't have that chemistry that you really want to see, and what will, if he plays well, potentially be the top wide receiver for the team as the, you know, as seasons go on. So he's looked good. He's made a couple of drops, but by and large, you know, physically, he looks fine. He looks like the time off didn't do him, you know, any ill, unlike some other people I know, Darryl Revis. But by the same token, they're just not quite on the same page, and that's going to come as the season progresses, and hopefully they'll really start clicking the latter half of the season, you know, when the Jets need them for that playoff push, when they go back into the AFC East gauntlet and they have to go back against the Patriots and the Dolphins, who are really not that far behind the Jets in the division right now. It's very tight.
All right, you brought up Revis. Let's switch over to the defense. What is up with Mr. Revis Island? What is up with Mr. Holdout? What is up with Mr. Hamstring?
Well, you know, you were talking about football guys earlier. One thing that I've always said when it comes to fantasy football is watch those holdouts, because almost universally, when a guy misses training camp, they end up hurt and dinged up really early in the season. And it's just as true for the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, didn't shock me that Revis came into the season with hamstring issues. Didn't shock me that it continued. All I can do is hope that the last 2 weeks has given him enough time to heal, because if anybody's followed me on Twitter, you know that I haven't been particularly happy that he's been back in the game. He hasn't been ready. He didn't look ready, you know, against the Vikings. You could see him pulling up. You could see him without the pop that he normally has. He was not effective in the middle of the field. I mean, Percy Harvin was lighting him up, although that's part of the Jets defense too. I mean, when they blitz hard and then they go, you know, man on the corners with the wide receivers, it leaves that middle of the field open quite a bit, and you got to have someone who is, you know, healthy and on the top of their game to cover that. The Jets have always struggled a little bit, and Revis didn't help anything. So I mean, I'm concerned about the hamstring. You know, they're saying it's 100%. They're saying that he's ready to go. He's saying he's ready to go. But I would rather see them be very careful with him now and have him later on in the season when, again, they come up against the division again, than have him come in and pull it and hurt it and then him be playing at 70% for the next 3 weeks. We've seen him at 70%. Mm-hmm. At 70%, you know, he's not able to keep up with guys like Randy Moss, the guys he could shut down last year. And, you know, the way the scheme is with the Jets, you know, Antonio Cromartie's played pretty well in lieu of having Revis out there.
I was
there.
Just going to ask about that, because last I saw him, I mean, I know you watch them every week, but the last I saw him, he was pretty much shutting down Randy Moss. I mean, Moss had the one touchdown on a perfectly placed ball from Favre on the Monday night game. But, you know, other than that, Cromartie did an ace job on Moss. Has he looked that – was that just a one-game aberration, or has he looked that good throughout the year?
No, he's the first game against the Ravens, you know, they didn't have Revis, and you had Cromartie and Kyle Wilson.
Oh, Kyle Wilson.
That was awful. I mean, Wilson, listen, Wilson is a rookie, and right. Wilson looks like a rookie, and they've got to put him in, you know, talk about kind of hand-holding Sanchez a little bit. You got to do that with rookies and other positions, and Wilson, you just can't, he's not ready for prime time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that man draws more flags, drew more ridiculous flags than I saw the entire of the Denver Jets game. I mean, he just attracts them. He's like a magnet for them. He's just gets overmatched, and I think he gets a little too physical and he gets called. It happened to Cromartie in that first game too. Mm-hmm. But what I think happened was, and I did a video blog of this a couple weeks ago when I was in Chicago. It was on linked to on the Jets blog, Brian Bassett's excellent Jets website, and it was essentially the scheme of the Jets favors a talented corner, which is to say, you know, an average corner will play better than he looks. But a guy like Cromartie, who's had a couple of very good seasons but never been consistent, excels in the scheme in part because the Jets blitz so often that they pressure the quarterback into having to hurrying his reads, to not taking the time to allow a wide receiver like a Randy Moss, or, you know, you could even go back and look at it last year with Andre Johnson, any of those guys, Steve Smith. They don't have time to go vertical. And so you have a quarterback who's trying to thread the needle. And and frankly, Cromartie, Revis, these are guys who do well keeping up with these wide receivers in that brief amount of time. You know, if you have a long enough sprint, we've seen it. Moss can get more separation. Mm. But, you know, if you have pressure on the quarterback, if they can get pressure on Aaron Rodgers repeatedly, if they can get through that offensive line, which is not, you know, outside the realm of possibility, I think you'll admit, that, you know, if Rodgers doesn't have time to hit his vertical route and allow that to sort of form, mm-hmm. you're going to end up with a situation where Cromartie can hang with, you know, whoever goes long, Jennings, whoever. And right. and that could make it more difficult for the Packers to hit those long throws. Now, the question is, you know, can they go short across the middle, which is Wes Welker killed them with it. Harvin kills them with it. I mean, and that could be the key to the Packers' offensive plans is going short and doing those little short routes because the Jets, they leave that middle of the field open, and then it's all after the catch. And if you have someone who has some talent at getting some yards after the catch, you know, then you're getting a good 5, 10, 15 yards off those short routes, and that turns that field a lot shorter, and it's just as deadly as having a 70-yard pass.
What? Do you think the whole Hard Knocks Super Bowl stuff from the preseason in the summer has totally dissipated now, or is this team as unruly and crazy as it looked to begin with?
I think it's pretty much mellowed out. I mean, I think it had sort of died down to begin with, and then, you know, they had the unfortunate, you know, Braylon Edwards DUI incident, and with the Revis holdout. I mean, I think those are things that sort of made it feel like it lingered, but I think Hard Knocks itself didn't affect the team the way that it could have. I think Ryan did a good job of sitting on these guys for the most part, and they've been very careful. When they went into the bye week, they essentially sat the guys down and said, "Hey, kids, here's the number of a good limo service. Don't get arrested. Be safe. You know, don't do stupid things." I mean, and you know, these are guys who will lay down for Ryan. I mean, they really respect Ryan. They love Ryan. So I think that he has them under control. It to me, it always worries me. This is the sort of team where it does seem like there are enough disparate personalities where it could go spinning out of control at any minute.
Right.
But right now, it does seem like the different personalities are able to work together and are able to function. And they have one goal, and that goal is the Super Bowl. Or to lead the league in blah 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 wins, as Rex likes to say.
All right, break. Quickly before we let you go, looking at Sunday, what is your prediction? Do you have a prediction? What do you see happening? How do you see the game playing out?
It's going to be really interesting because I think I said in the chat earlier that this is going to come down to trench warfare. It's going to be whichever defensive line has the most effectiveness against the other offensive line. So it's going to be up to how the Jets are able to blitz Rodgers, and if they can get at him and keep him from being able to get those long vertical routes and get Cromartie beat, I think they could have a really good day and stifle the Packers' offense. You know, alternately, you know, the Jets' offensive line is in better shape. And they've been running the ball more effectively, and Tomlinson, I think, gives them a little bit of an edge on the ground. So I think the Jets will be able to move the ball a little more efficiently, but all it really takes, as Denver shown, is the right scheme, and you get Sanchez to make some bad decisions. He's still, you know, Jekyll still sort of rears his ugly head, you know, as much as Hyde, or, you know, flip that, reverse it. So I think if the Packers can get in there and get him flustered, he starts making bad reads, you're going to have Woodson running back six-pointers. But I'm going to say that I believe the Jets will come out on top with this. I think it's going to be a 24-21 game. It's going to be close, but I do believe that the Jets will come out
on top. Get out of here, Garda. Get out of here. Get off our show. Quit talking about the Jets. Goodbye.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Andrew. That's Corey's way of saying that he likes you and that he really respects your opinion.
Come on. I'm so sick of people coming on our show saying that the Packers aren't going to win. Okay.
So
the Packers aren't going to win. Okay,
Andrew, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Everybody, check out Andrew's stuff at footballguys.com, thunderingblurb.com, and bigeastgridiron.com. Andrew, you're an absolute legend
Thank
for joining
you,
us tonight. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you, gentlemen. I enjoy your work as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Garda on the phone. Thundering blurb. Corey's all riled up. You know, it was funny because I was listening to Chip Scoggins last week talk about how, oh, it all laid out for the Vikings to take the division. Oh, yeah? I don't think so.
I don't think so, Chip.
Homie, don't play that.
I don't think so, Mr. Scoggins.
Oh, okay, it's officially ramshackle time. We got 9 minutes.
Well, we have a clip we haven't seen, though.
We do?
We have the post game.
This is great.
It's good stuff.
This, if you've been to Packers.com, maybe you've seen this, maybe you haven't. This is directly after the game. Play that full screen, dog. You got
to
see that.
I'm going to play it again.
Play it. Play it.
Wait, hold on. Let's start that over. Okay, I just started over. Here we go.
I could watch that 1,000 times. It's just so great. It is so great. You got Clay Matthews making a funny face at the camera. You got Aaron Rodgers doing what the heck he's doing there. And you got McCarthy giving him Monday off, and the guy's being really excited. I love it. I love it. I'm a football nerd. What can you say?
There's not much you can say.
Packers have victory Monday. They had the day off. How great is that? I wish like I did work really well, and then I got the next day off. That'd be great.
I got something that we got to talk about.
Uh-oh.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
This week in the Packer Blogosphere! It's that time, ladies and gentlemen, where we feature our guest panelist. This evening it's Milwaukee Brian of Milwaukee Brian Sports. If you have not yet, check it out, people. Everything having to do with Wisconsin sports on that blog, it's pretty impressive. Throw up the link. Somebody, Brian, Milwaukee Brian, throw it up there.
Should we call Jason Wilde?
You're going to call him?
He said he was going to tune in to Cheesehead
TV.
He
said he might.
Yeah, but so we just he's on Skype.
All right, call him.
What do you think?
Call him. That's what we do. That's how we do it here at Cheesehead TV. Now he's probably watching. Now he's going to get in trouble with Paula, and he's going to get all... It's going to be very bad.
Jamie's like, call him. It's funny. Oh, is Skype on?
Probably not. That's how we usually do it.
Here we go. I even have a graphic for it. There we go. Let's see if he'll come on. Nope.
Not happening. Denied. He knows we're calling. That's why he's not picking up.
He's like, no way.
Enough of that.
It's not happening.
Such is life. Yeah, you see, Colleen's got it right. Don't piss Paula off. CD, it's them again. Yeah, it is. Hey, it's them again. I will.
That was fun while it lasted.
I will remind you, CD, that he called us last time.
It's true.
Unannounced.
He called us unannounced. We didn't expect.
That's all I'll say about that.
Well, that's not all you'll say, but.
So, Corey, where did you watch the game on Sunday?
Right here in the Cheesehead TV studio.
And where are you watching the game this Sunday?
I'm watching it on row one. Wait, I'll tell you right now. I'm watching it on row one, section 143, seat 22, 23, and 24.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
And
oh, wait, who's sitting with you?
Oh, yeah, you are.
Oh, that's right. Awesome.
And my dad.
That's so cool. So, people, if you're at the game, come find us. Come say hi.
People are like, call Mike Vandermouse. Yeah, because we've done that before.
Oh, my God. That would be like, that would be the worst or the best 10 minutes of programming you've ever seen / heard. Actually, it probably wouldn't be 10 minutes. It'd probably be a minute. Because basically, he would pick up and I would, like, you know, tell him how much he sucked, and then that would be it. That would be the end of the interview.
Garda's on. He hates us now because we're going to the game.
I know. Well, you know, Garda, that's how we roll. Everybody's to
town. Everybody's tweeting Wilde. Should we try him again?
No. Or should,
if he's going to call, he's going to call,
call,
right?
Call us.
I feel like I just like bothering him. It's fun. I don't know. Is that bad?
Not at all.
Like I don't think that anybody would have kicked
me
out.
Wait, let's see if anybody else on Skype? Let's just go down your Skype here and see if anybody else is on. We got lots of people. Like, is Demosky on? Or, you know, we could call anybody.
Yeah, no.
No.
Let's call Jermichael Finley. Let's call Finley. He just got done watching the basketball game. We could call him.
He's not on.
Let's call Leroy Butler. We got everybody's number.
I wish. People say I have a man crush on Leroy Butler. I seriously
totally have a Leroy Butler crush.
I think that Leroy Butler is my favorite Packer of all time. I'm sorry. And you
That's
know
a
why?
Bold statement.
It's not, though. It's really not. In the modern era, is there a player that has remained true to the Packers?
Oh, I see. No.
Has sparked a generational, now institutional fad, okay? And also won a Super Bowl. Okay, put those three things together for 2 seconds, okay? And tell me who else has done that. You can maybe say Bart Starr, but what fad did he make?
No, Bart Starr qualifies as the, you know, sticking with the Packers throughout
all. Yeah. Bart Starr is the greatest Packer to have ever lived.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's probably Curly Lambeau after him, and then Leroy Butler. But Leroy Butler is in the top five people.
Oh, easy. Are you kidding me?
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I think he's number one for me because he's exciting.
Well, that's a personal
He's
that's
exciting.
Personal choice.
And
me,
I love what he gives to Packer fans now. Like, if Bart Starr was doing X and O with Leroy Butler, that's the world I want to live in.
You would never get anything done.
That's the world I want to live in.
You know who was
Can
at
I
the
live
game?
In that world?
You know, speaking of ex-safeties, you know who was at the game on Sunday night? Mark Murphy. Not the president and CEO, though I'm sure he was in town. But Mark Murphy, the ex-player.
Yikes.
That's some old-school 80s right there for you, Batman.
Did you get his autograph?
No.
Oh, that's right. You don't do autographs.
I'm just not big into autographs. It's never been my thing. I just never thought.
That's right. Bart Starr did not create the Lambeau Leap. And
no,
that is
didn't.
My point. And Bart Starr, again, does not do X and O on the chalkboard. That is good stuff that you can't get anywhere else. I feel like I work for JS Online sometimes.
You do, because you pimp their stuff enough. My goodness.
It's just good.
And now let's talk a little bit about Tom Silverstein. He's pumping up his Twitter game last couple days. Trying to make up for the loss of Greg Bedard.
He's even added Corey Behnke, which is very bizarre.
Nice.
I've never seen that before
very
from
nice.
Tom. I didn't know he added people.
Let me just say this. If the Journal Sentinel thinks that they can just have Gary D'Amato writing a couple stories and then have Tom Silverstein just maybe possibly push a couple more Twitter things and replace Greg Bedard, they're sorely mistaken.
Yeah, no. No, what they need to do...
Sorely mistaken. They
need to do...
What's that?
Okay, they need to try to hire Cheesehead TV. Okay? To give them the multimedia experience that they so desperately need. And my only terms,
yes,
okay?
Yes.
My only terms.
The I'll, only ones you have.
I'll do all the work, okay? But right. one of my big things I got to have,
yeah.
It's me, not Tom Silverstein.
No, you.
Me and Leroy, X and O. Tom Silverstein can have, you can have five questions. You get the five questions.
Right.
But I get X and O, okay?
There you go.
That's it. I will do everything else.
There you
okay?
go. Wait,
I'll be
that?
Their video guy.
Right,
I'll
right.
be their oh, I'll be their producer. Whatever they need.
Oh, I love that you're talking about being their video guy, and then the video feed goes out. That's awesome.
You know,
that's like
I don't.
That's almost poetic.
I'm not really enjoying the sarcasm that you have right now. I'm not enjoying it. Okay.
Especially since it's probably my fault because since I took your camera to Lambeau.
At the end of the day, if people knew the match sticks that Cheesehead TV actually is built upon, they would not follow me on Twitter.
Probably not. All right, we're rambling. Let's wrap this puppy up. Wildy's not calling. No one else
no,
is
he's
calling.
Not. He's not tuning in. And he's not calling. He's
not
a liar.
Tuning in.
He's a liar and he sucks. And let's hash. I'm going to tweet it.
No, you're not. Don't.
There's
do
already
it.
Been tweets on it.
Don't do it.
People have already said Wildy sucks.
Oh no.
I see. Should we just like?
Oh no.
I wouldn't, Bogman, I wouldn't get doughy-eyed doing the thing with Leroy.
See, Wildy just said, he's not calling in. He's stolen the show once. You can't steal this show, Jason.
You can't steal this show.
Let me talk to you, Wildy. Meet me at camera one.
Oh, man.
Meet me at my camera here. Let me talk to you, Wildy.
Now he's saying he's not going to come on. He's going to come visit us in New York, but he's not going to come on our show.
You can't steal this show. You're a guest on the show. Even when you call in unannounced, that's stealing the show. You're a guest on the show.
Yeah.
Let's get that distinction clear, all right?
He's
fantastic
like,
that
I'm
you're watching
it.
Nobody.
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Hope you were there for the fun with Brad Jones losing signal from his cell. That doesn't happen on Green and Gold Today. Green and Gold Today, if you didn't tune in, download today's Green and Gold Today. If, like, you know, like me, if you're like, I can't listen to Green and Gold Today every single day because it's just too much. You know, it's just too much for me. I know there's lots of Packer fans out there.
I can listen to it every day.
Or they're like, oh, I listen to it every day. We want it to be 2 hours. It's great. Bully for you. All right, for me, a little too much, but that's just me. But today's episode is a must listen, a must download for the rant that Jason Wilde goes on. Bar none, some of the best programming you'll ever hear on ESPN Milwaukee or ESPN Madison. Download it, listen to it, you will not regret it. Fantastic stuff, Wilde. Right there for you, buddy.
There you go.
So let's wrap this up, ladies and gentlemen. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. Big thanks to our guests, Brad Jones and Andrew Garda, as well as Milwaukee Brian for joining us on the live blog. Speaking of the live blog, thanks as always to Brian Caravu and Alex Talish, along with Holly Phelps, Jamie Joyers, and the rest of the crew. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience that you cannot find anywhere else on the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, join us next week when our guests will be mystery number one and mystery number two. We'll see you after a big victory over the Jets. We'll see you next week.